Let's read our Calvary Port Acres Creed. Go ahead and stand for the reading of that. Let's say that together. Ready? We believe in one God, creator of all things, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is what we believe. There's no doubt about that. I love that saying. Number two in our Calvary Port Acres Creed. Remember, there's seven of them. It's on the back wall. But if you need that sheet to have at home, you can have those. The goal is to memorize them. So when someone says, well, what do you believe? You can say, we believe this. And it's pretty easy. Y'all can be seated. Thanks for standing and saying that. I'm not sure why God has laid this particular message on my heart this morning. I know that when Pastor Nick and I were looking at the theme pictures for the year, we did this back in November, December of last year, and we picked this theme for this part of the month. And I thought it was appropriate because back then I began putting together a message not knowing what we'll be going through in our world at this time. And so it's kind of neat that God knows exactly what we need. And so maybe it's because of all that. Maybe you've had some difficulties lately, and hearing a message about being still may help. So if this is for you today, if God has said, Blake, I want you to preach this message this morning for this particular person, it may be just one person in here that needs this. Maybe it's for me. I don't know. But I hope you're encouraged by it this morning. And that was the goal. I just felt very overwhelmingly that this message was for today. So this message started from one of my favorite passages of the Bible, because when I've gone through struggles and trials and things that's gone on in my life, meditating on this passage has helped me, and it's encouraged me and given me that kind of strength to that. And it only has 11 verses, so we're going to read all 11 verses from this passage of Psalm 46. It's 11 verses. We're going to do 1 through 11. Y'all just read along with me as I read out loud. Number one, verse number one, God is our refuge and strength, a well-proven help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Then verse number four, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High God. Most High, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her in the early dawn. The nations roared. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Verse number eight. Come, see the works of the Lord, who makes desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts off the spear. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Whew. Be still and know. It is said that whenever Martin Luther was discouraged, he would respond by saying, come, let's get together and let us sing Psalm 46. The psalm teaches us that whenever disaster strikes and it seems that all hope is lost, God can handle things which seem like total destruction, total disaster to us. He can handle it. And when we allow him to handle those destructions, those things, he will handle them in his will, in his time, and in his way. Many times when a person is searching for the will of God in their life, they will they have their own ambitions, they have their own goals, they have their own dreams. The question they ask is, well, what am I to do in my life with my goals, with my ambitions, with my dreams? The answer to that question is for us to be still and know God, learn of him. And in that knowledge of him, we will find the answers that we are seeking. Many times problems arise, delays come, detours come, just like the children of Israel that was wandering around the desert in the wilderness. They continue to have detours and delays and more desert time. But God knew all of this and provided everything for them. even in their unbelief, God was already providing for them. We worry so much about how we will accomplish our goals, but the answer is God specializes in miracles if we desire to do his goals. The first phrase of the verse 10 is the important phrase. I just kind of stop and look at this every time. It's about the hardest thing probably that a person can do, and the hardest thing a believer can do is be still. Be still and know that he is your God. Probably most of us usually try to defend ourselves and justify our failures, try it on our own, do whatever we can do to make it right, and fix it. And then we go, God, okay, I tried. But the psalmist clear, be still and know that I am God. I want to dissect the phrase a little bit before I get into the meat of the message. The phrase be still means to get quiet and sit tight. Activity is not necessarily a sure sign of progress. You've heard the old saying, you know, they just run around in circles. All right, they're just chasing their own tails. I see believers and Christians all the time, work. And it just seems like they're just going around in circles, fighting their own work. But they look so productive. And they look like, oh, they're a great Christian. Look at all the work they're doing. And you can stop back and go, they could probably do 3/4 of that in less time if they just stopped running around. So activity is not necessarily a sure sign of progress. Many of us have a hard time being still and waiting. I am one of those. I am learning and getting much better at that as I go along. The phrase and know tells us to learn the greatest truth that we can learn. Be still and know God. There are many definitions for the word know in the Bible, but I think the best definition for this verse is to be earnest and continue to inspect, to know by education and wisdom. We must wait before we work, sit before we serve, and know before we can teach. The first two parts, be still and know, are useless, though, if you're not understanding what you're to know. Be still and know. I'm trying to learn something out there. I've been watching CNN, and I've been looking at YouTube videos, and I've been trying to educate myself. I've been studying YouTube, Googling stuff. I just stop. Shh. He tells us what to learn of. He says, be still and know that I am God. That's the focus of our stillness. That's the focus of our knowledge and learning. The Lord is telling us that I am speaking. I am whatever you need. I am. The short psalm is divided into three parts. Each part is a different area of knowing God, a different part of who we're to be focusing on with him, a different character trait of God that he wants us to learn. You say, well, how do you know it's in three parts? Because each part ends in Selah. Each part has a little word there. Now that word Selah, some people say Selah, some people say Selah, some people say word, they pronounce it all different ways. And if you look it up, truly, nobody knows what it means. It's a mysterious word in the Bible. No one knows what it means. But based on where it's at and what it is in historical kind of writings, the most scholars will say it is a musical term because we are looking at the book of Psalms. And in the book of Psalms, it is a book of songs. So it's a musical term. And the musical term that we would have in our hymn books would be a pause symbol. And that's what this is, to pause. So when you're singing it, pause. It really is kind of like the intermission before continuing. So you just sing that, rest on it a little bit, and then continue on the next part. One preacher said this. It says, when you're reading it, just say, take a minute. And the idea is to pause and ponder, to meditate or pause on what you just said. And so that's kind of the idea I want us to think about as we're going through these three here, to kind of stop and pause and meditate on those three. So the first one we see here is the first verses 1-3. God is our refuge and strength, a well-proven help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. He is our personal refuge. You know, over the years, nations have found refuge or protection in their tanks, in their battleships, in their armor. Men have found sanctuary in their positions in life and their possessions that they have acquired. I feel safe because I have acquired all these possessions. I should be good until I die. I can retire, and I'm very comfortable and safe in all my possessions. My house is safe. I've guarded it. I protected it, and our safety is in that. But they've forgotten something important about these places of safety. Tanks can be blown up. Battleships can be sunk. Armor can be pierced. Positions can be taken away, and possessions can be lost. But God is our personal refuge for anything that we need. He is a powerful refuge, a well-proven help in trouble. The word trouble literally means a tight place. Trouble sure have put us in some tight places, haven't they? Sometimes you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place. How many believers have been in that place before, right? A rock and a hard place. Every Christian that's used by God in his kingdom has felt that way or will feel that way at some point in their life. They're serving God out there, and also they come to this place where they feel like, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I don't know which way to go. We can easily get stuck here, though. We just focus on the trouble. We're just like, oh, look at all the troubles, and we start talking about all the troubles. We can get focused on that real easy. We're good at that, focusing on trouble, aren't we? I mean, think about it. Every time we have prayer meetings and praise times, we'll have three times the amount of prayers as we do praises. Like, we really kind of get stuck in that need, worry, stuff going on time. The phrase there, a well-proven help, means already tested right now help. God is interested in what concerns you and me. My God is a God of refuge. My God is a God of strength. My God is my help. But the good stuff is not yet finished, because God has no problem with time. Notice it doesn't say he will be there when the trouble arises. He says that he's already there. He's there before the trouble comes, and he's there after the trouble goes away. We always think, let's pray and ask God to be here and be with us during this time of trouble. And we really should be going, let's pray and acknowledge that God was here before it happened, and we just didn't recognize it, right? Because that's really what it is. God's already there. He's already waiting for us, like, okay, when you get caught up, I'm just hanging out here, right? God's already there. He will be a permanent refuge or a safe haven for us. It continues on in verse 46, 2 and 3. It's as though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains shake with its swelling, right? So think about all that could go on in your life. And think about what's gone on in this community in the last 3 to 4 years, right? Carried in the midst of the sea, right? Waters roaring and foaming, right? I mean, that's literal what was going on. And he says, though all this is going on, I'm still there. I'm still there. I'm still your refuge. I'm still your safe haven in the middle of all that. Even if the world is destroyed, when all the noise subsides and all the dust settles, we'll be standing because God is our refuge. So we think about all the problems that are going on in society right now, all the things going on in this world right now. All of it is just like, can we have anything else happen? Like, it was funny, like, not funny, funny, but funny, like, interesting funny. All the stuff with the COVID came in and all that stuff. And then we had, like, murder hornets and then we had, like, coin shortage, whatever. How many of y'all heard about the asteroid that was supposed to hit the Earth in April? I mean, we just kind of, like, skipped right over that, didn't we? Like, asteroid, who cares? Come on, asteroid. Take us on. That would be great if that actually happened right now, right? And all that was going on, and we have all the stuff and the riots and everything going on. We just missed the whole asteroid. Like, that story just went right over us, literally, right over us. And they were trying to figure out in the last couple of years, knowing it was going to happen, that if it got close, what would they do? Would they send a rocket up there and try to kind of push it out of the way? And like, they've been watching Hollywood movies. I don't know. They had all these NASA ideas to see, and they're like, okay, it's getting closer. yeah, it's gonna go by us. And I'm thinking, by us, they're like, you know, it went by us like millions of miles by us, you know. I'm like, why were we worried? But in space, a million miles apparently is really close. So I'm just glad we missed that one. But we have all this stuff going on in our society, in the world, and the community, and everything. So even if all that goes, and when it's all settled down, and it's all calm, if it's ever going to be calm ever again, God's right there. He's with us the whole time. So Selah, meditate on that a while. God is our refuge right now. Even if this whole world collapses, financially, politically, diseases, hornets, whatever, God is our refuge. Selah. I could stop right there and just soak that in. But it continues on. Psalm 46, verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her in that early dawn. The nations roared. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Now, many scholars kind of go back and forth on what this passage is talking about. It could be a prophetic idea of the river talking about in heaven river and the city of God there. But based on the scripture, based on when it was written, we don't know who wrote it. Based on when it was written and what was going on, most scholars believe it has something to do with when Hezekiah was king. And when Hezekiah was king, he knew that Jerusalem, the holy city, the city that God dwelled in, where the temple was very vulnerable. And there was a river or a stream that came in. It came from the spring of Gihon down there in the Ophel and the Kidron Valley. And he realized that this is where we got our water from, but all it took was for some kingdom to come along and block that water and close us in. We wouldn't have any water. So he literally dug a conduit pipe out of solid rock, 1,777 feet long, and put a reservoir on the inside of the city walls and then covered up the spring on the outside. So when the enemies came, they didn't see the spring. They didn't see the water flowing in. They could be closed up inside the city and have all the water they needed. He planned ahead for that, knowing that that could happen. And so when the enemy came, the psalm was probably written after this prayer. And we're going to look at this prayer in 2 Kings. Hezekiah prays, and God, to answer his prayer, sends an angel, one angel, and killed 185,000 Assyrians. So 2 Kings is where we can look at that passage there. Hezekiah received a letter, verse 15 says, that Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, who sits on the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the sky and the earth. Incline, O Lord, your ear and hear. Open, O Lord, your eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he sent to taunt the living God. This is a letter from their enemy. So now, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. And it continues on down to 2 Kings 19:35. On that night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Syrians. When others woke up early in the morning, these were all dead bodies. Now, if you look at the King James Version, I love how the King James Version says it. It says that they, when they woke up, they were dead corpses. They woke up dead. How does that even, like the next morning, you wake up, you're like, oh, I'm dead. But I think it really means when everyone else woke up, they saw that they were 185,000 dead. But the way the King James says that they woke up dead, I was like, huh, that's kind of cool. But anyway, throughout this fearful siege, there is a river whose streams make glad the holy city of God. this is going on. So Hezekiah did plan. He did listen to God, and God directed him years earlier for this planning for this to happen. And God has revealed himself to his people throughout the Bible many different ways. And one of the ways he does it is through water. He says here in the Old Testament that God is a fountain of living waters. When I think about water, I think about cleansing water. And we think of water cleansing us, making us new. But sometimes what has happened is people have looked for things that were new ideas to fix their problems. I've been watching a show on Netflix. It's an 8-series show about our planet and things like that. And there's different medicines and herbs and plants and stuff like, you know, super fruits and all these whatever. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. We should know more about that and about water. And it went through all these different things. But one of the things they did is that there's a place down in on the Amazon. You go down and there's some herb that they burn. And when they burn it, they put the smoke on you, and the smoke makes you go into a catatonic state. And you basically go high and you see all sorts of weird visions. And they promote this to really rich people in America that can't get off of heroin and meth and stuff like that, that they come down there and they'll get them off that through a shaman and the smoke. And that's, so this replaced meth and heroin with this other leaf. Anyway, so I was watching that and I was thinking, we're always looking for new things, aren't we? New things to fix our problems. And somehow this leaf, they just do it all the time. And eventually they don't have a heroin addiction anymore. I go, yeah, because now they have a, whatever this leaf is, addiction now. We're always trying to find new things to comfort us. But God has not called us to find new ways of fulfilling our desires and healing our pain. He says, I am already here. I am called you to rely on me, the God who's the refuge that's already there, but also to seek him for cleansing, calming, cooling waters. He is a fountain of living waters. In the New Testament, we see that he is a God of a well of living water. Jesus said that the water that he gives becomes a well of water springing up into eternal life. He is not only a fountain, but a deep well. And not only a deep well, he is a river of continuous flowing water. When you have a fountain that's fed by a well and a well that's fed by a river, you have an unending source of strength. The point of all this is that you think about what the Old Testament saints had, and you think about the New Testament saints or the saints that were around Jesus' time, and then compare that to what we have today. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. If you're a believer this morning, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit moved inside of you, and you have that fountain that's supplied by a river of God, a daily source of power and strength coming like it never ends. He is there to give us strength and comfort when we need it, because he's already given it. And you can meditate on that for a while. God is our refuge right now, even if the whole world collapses, and he is our river, the source of our help and our power. Salah. Now, if you just stop and just say, be still and know those two things about God, that should take everything away, all the problems, all the worries, all the concerns. But he doesn't stop there. He continues on in 46, verse 8. He says, come, see the works of the Lord who makes desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts off the spear. He burns the chariot of the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Be still and know who the ruler is. Who's in charge? I see kind of two directives here that God is calling us to do. There's a call to see who is in control. First of all, in our lives, we have to realize and stop. Who's really the person that has all the power? Who has all power and all control? Who's a creator and power of all things? Let's figure that out, right? The psalmist calling people to look how God sent one angel to kill 185,000 soldiers. Who's in charge there? Not this Assyrian king, obviously. Not these 185,000. They woke up dead. Who's in charge here? If we would behold God's work in our lives, we would see how many times God has already taken care of us in the past. Someone just looking for miracles, miraculous power of God, and seeing what he has done already can encourage us to be ready for what he's going to come coming up. So we can look back and go, what has God already done? Let's just stop and just say, who did that? God. I mean, when you look back at your life, you go, oh yeah, I was really smart back then. And I did this for myself. And oh, I was really good. And look at what I did here for myself. And oh, when this came up, look at the great thing. I can't do that in my life. I don't know if you can. Every time that something good happened, it was not me doing it. It was in spite of me, something good happened. So who's in charge of all that? I'm going to put God as, right? So he first of all says, come see, come look. Who's in charge? Who are we going to be focused on? And then there's a call. Okay, now that you know who's in charge, now there's a call to believe that. Do you believe that? Be still and know. We need to believe in who God is. We can't know God like we should if we're rushing here and rushing there trying to fix our own lives. One of Satan's traps is to kind of get us involved in activity so we have no time to be still in the presence of God, enjoying the present ministry, the present intimacy of our Savior right there, to stop and go, God, you're in charge of this. God, you're God. You created this universe with a spoken word. What am I thinking? Okay, and just stop and relax. Again, this is probably one of the chief problems of the Christian life today, is taking time to be still before God and listen for him to speak to us. A good friend of mine, he's in a position now where he's able to kind of take some quiet retreats, and he'll do that once a month or so. He'll take 2 or 3 days and go alone somewhere, and literally no electronics, no talking on the phone, no talking at all. He just is quiet, reading, praying, meditating for 2 or 3 days. And he's been able to do this. And he has come back, and I go, I want to be able to do that. And he goes, well, you can. I'm like, no, because I'll go with you and we'll talk. And that defeats the whole purpose. And I couldn't do it every month, but he said, you need to do it. And I said, I do need to do it. It's been a while. But sometimes we just need to get that stillness. If you go to my office, you'll see that I changed my lighting around. Thursday I was in there and I was able to dim the lights down to like just barely on and just sit in my office. And I changed the air conditioning, so now it's cold in my office instead of hot. And so I'm in my office and it's just cool. And the lights are dimmed. And I just got, God, you're present here. And I just sat there just for a little bit and just enjoyed his presence. We need to do that. He said, be still and know. We need to know who's in charge and then believe that he's in charge, and that not only do we believe that he's in charge, but believe that he can do what he says he's going to do. We need to believe the fact that God is with us. The mighty God who commands all the angels of heaven is with us. He will always be present with us, and he will never leave our side. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, do you believe that? Do you truly believe that in your life? So when you think about that God is the one who's in charge, he's the root of all things, then you got to stop and go, Salah, just take an intermission. Just meditate on that for a little bit. God is our refuge right now, even if the whole world collapses. He is our river, the source of all help and power, and he's the ruler of everything. Be still and know that. And so in the middle of anything going on in your life, just take that opportunity to stop and look at Psalm 46, mark those things down in your Bible, and just realize, God, I don't know why I'm so anxious right now. I don't know why I'm worrying so much. We got people in our church that are in the middle of cancer treatments, and we got people in our church that are in the middle of financial problems. We got people in our church that don't have jobs, and you know, all sorts of stuff going on, sicknesses and everything. And it just, when they come to me, it's like, just be still for a little bit. Know who's in charge of this. Know who to be looking to for your source. And so when you get anxious and worry, like it's right there. He's telling us how we get rid of it. Be still and know that he is God. We need to be getting to know God more and more each day. We need to be in God's word and getting to know him by diving into this and going, oh, that's you, God. You're in me, and that's in my life right now. We need to know him as our present refuge, our river of help and power, as our ruler over all of our life. God has left us with a Bible to study, a heart to pray and believe, a mouth to speak goodness and truth from, and a righteous heart to know what truth is. Let us be still and know that he is God. Know that the Lord, he is God. And take his yoke upon you and learn of him. Learn of who God is, and he shall give you rest in your soul. Be still. Salah. Meditate on that, church. Let me pray with you this morning.